If you'd like to read with me, we'll be reading from Luke, the 13th chapter, and verses 10 through 17. Luke 13, 10 through 17. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to himself, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said to the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord answered him, Rightfully so, thou hypocrite. Dost not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And he gave her peace. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by Jesus.
Eighteen years. Bent over. A disease that we now call osteoporosis. Spending 18 years looking at the ground. Her infirmity probably caused her some embarrassment. Maybe some exclusion. Maybe even ostracization. Little children, when she walked by, would probably innocently giggle when they saw her. Adults more than likely pitied her, and no one could help. I can imagine her prognosis was pretty gloomy. She would never be healed. She was destined to look at the ground wherever she goes, for as long as she goes. But on this day, the unbelievable happens. Jesus is teaching, and he sees her. But he has more than just pity on her. He has mercy. He touched her. He immediately straightened up and began to glorify God. The people rejoice with the exception of one. And there always seems to be someone who cannot see the good. Who's indignant, begins to criticize, chastise Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. And then Jesus reminded him that on the Sabbath that they could water their animals. So how much more would a child of Abraham, a child of God, be set free on that day? In essence, Jesus is saying it's an ugly religion when we place law and doctrine before people. Jesus in Mark 2 and verse 27, he said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. His opponent was humiliated. The people were delighted because of the wonderful things that Jesus had done. For this morning, let us spiritualize this narrative and see what it is we can learn. And let's be challenged by this interesting but frequently ignored text. The first thing that we learn here is that Satan is alive and well. And this narrative plainly teaches that her disease was caused by Satan. And he is very much at work in this world today. Jesus, or Satan, is the center of all sickness, whether it is spiritual, physical, or emotional. Friends, all ugly, hurtful, harmful thoughts and behavior are the results of what happened in the Garden of Eden. And Satan was at the heart of it. He's still the cause of everything bad and ugly. Every pain, every hurt, every war, disease, every ugly, hurtful, hateful, divisive thought, every mean-spirited behavior, every ruptured relationship, every hateful word of gossip is the result of Satan. And unfortunately, we have to live in a fallen world. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Peter tells us that Satan operates like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So he warns us to be sober, mindful, to be watchful. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 17, hear what Paul writes here to Timothy. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. When we put those two statements together, we find that Satan is indeed active today, but that God has the power to deliver us as he is more powerful than Satan. This really shouldn't come as a surprise, for Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, that there was no temptation, there is no bending, if you will, no overtaking that to you that is common, not common to man. That God is faithful, that he will not let us be tempted beyond our ability, that he will provide a means of escape so that we can endure it. You see, God wants us to live better lives. God wants us to live straighter lives. So he provides, he empowers our strengthening. But here's something else, that even though Satan is behind all the suffering, God has the power, and he even promises us that he can take even the bad things that happen to us and work them out to our good, our benefit, our betterment. Just think about Job. Lost everything to Satan. And yet, when it was all over, he had even more than he had before because of his love for God and God's love for him. But what about Joseph? Joseph being sold into slavery, falsely accused, cast into prison, yet God used this to bless him and his family beyond his wildest imaginations. And our challenge is to understand that Satan is at work in our world, but that God promises to deliver us. We might be bent, but we are not broken. Our narrative also teaches patience. For 18 years, this woman had this infirmity, and yet she never gave up. Can you imagine coming to worship for 18 years and yet nothing changed in her condition? It makes you wonder just how many prayers she prayed for deliverance over those years. She was bent, but she wasn't broken. She never stopped believing. And so she challenges us to be patient. There's no doubt that our world today inhibits biblical patience. We have instant potatoes. We have instant rice, instant grits. We have, it's probably a misnomer now, fast food, but you can burn 10 gallons of gas waiting in line to get it. Domino's Pizza built their business not on the quality of their pizza, mind you, it is good, but on how fast they can deliver it. Church, we must be patient. Sometimes we have to wait. We are living on God's timetable, and God has no need to be in a hurry. God promises deliverance, but there are times when He asks us to wait and to be patient. It is a fruit of the Spirit, a fruit of God that lives within us. Thirdly, some may not like to hear this. Good things come to those who come to worship. This lady kept coming to worship, hoping that a blessing, that a healing would come her way. If this woman was faithful in her worship, she would have been there 935 times looking for a miracle. And on her 936th Saturday, her healing came. What if she stayed home? What if she stayed home? What if she woke up that morning and said, "I just can't do it today. It's just too much. I've done it over and over and over again and nothing has happened." See, she would have missed her miracle, her healing, her blessing. She would have missed it all. Are we here looking for a blessing, even maybe a miracle? Somehow this woman was able to experience pain, allowing it to move through her, yet not possess her. Most of us, when we experience such pain and or struggles, frustration or troubles, we allow them to possess us to the point that our faith is compromised. We stop walking in the light. We stop worshiping God. We stop ministering. We stop attending church activities, maybe even worship itself. In our minds, it's like, what's the point? But what good is our faith unless it carries us through our troubled times? Here's our challenge. Can we keep being faithful in spite of our frustrations? Can we keep on trusting in spite of our troubles? Can we keep coming to worship Sunday after Sunday in spite of what we're going through, even if a condition persists 18 long years? Do we come here each Sunday expecting the sovereign, omnipotent, omnipresent God to be in our midst? Or do we come here looking for a blessing, a healing, a strengthening, a miracle. I pray that we do. I pray that that is the reason we're here, that we know that God is present here, not just a gathering of people sitting here just taking time to sing. Are we looking toward a world to solve our problems? A world with its riches, with its pride, with things, power, political clout? Or are we looking to Christ for spiritual, emotional, and social healing? Do we have a worldly perspective, or do we have a heavenly one? It was John who wrote in 1 John 2 in verses 15 through 17, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing along with its desires. But whoever does the will of the Father abides forever." Friends, we're all bent. We're all bent. And what are we bent today? What is keeping us from really enjoying life and being the person that God wants us to be? Christ is the good news for the bent spirits. And Jesus saw this woman. He called her. He touched her, and he healed her. What he did for this bent woman, he can do for us. Even if the situation we're in appears hopeless or desperate, even if we've done all that we can do, here it is. If we are a child of God, if God is God, and he is, if God before us, and he is, if Christ is with us, and he is, if the Holy Spirit is in us, and he is, if his love, mercy, grace, providence is promised, and they are, then on any given day, at any given moment, our past can be rectified, and our souls can be satisfied. On any given day, at any given moment, we can be saved and we can know that we are heaven bound. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, Paul writes here that we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, bent, if you will, but not destroyed. In Romans 5 and verses 3 through 5, he says, "Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love for us is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Some very powerful verses right there. Very powerful verses. We're not broken. We're just bent. And we're always going to be bent to some degree or another. But through Christ Jesus, he can help straighten us up, lift our heads up, and look what is above and not what is at our feet. This morning, this very moment, God's invitation is open. Christ sees us, He's calling us, and He is ready to heal our sin sickness, to forgive us and to save us. And if you are not a child of God this morning, then become one by faith, repentance, and baptism, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. And if we are a child of God, then His invitation is for us to acknowledge our sins, and He promises to forgive us. We're all bent, but there is no need this morning to go home broken. Come to Christ, please, if that is your desire this morning, as together we stand and we sing.